Hello, Cowboys Nation. Welcome to Cowboy Zone. Another week, another win. I am Ashley Baker alongside Josh Vinson. 12-2, Josh. Man, these Cowboys just keep picking up them W's, man. How you doing this week?
I'm doing well. You're right, man. The Cowboys, they just continue doing their thing. How you doing?
I'm feeling, listen, you know me. I'm a Cowboys fan, my dear. So I am feeling nice sitting at 12-2. I'm feeling nice that the Cowboys came out like they had something to prove. And I am excited about our show. This is going to be a good show. We have a great lineup for you guys tonight. Let me just say that, okay?
We do.
The producers of the show, man, this is about to be a banger show. So let's get into it. Let's just go ahead and jump right into
it,
Josh.
Let's get
Cowboys
it.
Win big over the Bucks, man. It was a really, really, really good game. Cowboys win. Dak redeems himself. The Cowboys redeem themselves. They go on 12-2 on the year. Another Sunday night game. Again, they defeat the Bucks 26-20. What's your takeaways from the game, Josh?
Well, I mean, I love the fact that Dak Prescott did what he did. You know me, a lot of people call me a Dak Prescott apologist at times when he's not doing what he's doing. But to throw for, I think it was around 80%, Dak really showed some resilience, especially coming off that loss against New York. I do like the fact that the defense did kind of step up towards the end of the game. They did hold Tampa Bay to 0 points in the fourth quarter. That was really critical. We couldn't really get things going. Dallas couldn't really get things going really in the fourth too much. I mean, they had only 9 points. A lot of those were just kind of field goals. But they kept Tampa Bay from getting in the end zone because, you know, if Tampa Bay would have scored, they could have definitely either tied the game or went over into overtime. Tied the game or went overtime, actually won the game. So those were some of the things that I really noticed. Ezekiel Elliott, definitely, as you predicted, because, you know, our audience may not realize, because you are a psychic. You know what I'm saying?
I was about to say, wait a minute now. Let's give props where they're due.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I cannot forget about your psychic prediction. Excuse me. Ezekiel Elliott did his thing. I mean, he was definitely eating the yards. You know, we will always remember this game. This is the game that Zeke jumped into the Salvation Army, little big red, you know,
the kettle
they got out.
Yes.
Which was the funniest thing
in the
world.
That was definitely like celebration of the year.
It was. And, you know, I was like really hoping the NFL was not going to find him for that, but they did. And that was great. And, of course, Jerry Jones, you know, what if I can find me? You know, he's doing the most. But anyway, overall, the Cowboys, they responded. And when you talk about great teams, that's what great teams do. You know, Dak could have went out there and just laid on his back and just, you know, let all the media talk, you know, should they have benched him or will they bench him and things like that. And Dak came out there looking like the Dak Prescott we remember from earlier in the season, back in week 5 and week 6 when Dak was, you know, doing his thing. He was great. Yeah, he didn't necessarily have all the passing touchdowns, but he did have his running touchdowns. So it wasn't like he, you know, was 32 for 36 and 5 touchdowns. Like, it wasn't like that per se. But, I mean, he tried his best to get everybody involved. You know, he got Dez Bryant involved. He got Wynn involved. He got a lot of different people involved. Of course, as we already talked about, Zeke was obviously involved. And so I think they can definitely go into the weekend, Christmas Eve, and getting ready for their game against the Lions on Monday. Pretty excited. All they have to do is win one more game to kind of lock things up out there on the East Coast. So I think Dallas did very well. It's some things that I am concerned about, and we'll talk about that a little later. But overall, as far as how did they perform and how did they respond after losing to the Giants the week prior, I think they did pretty solid.
Well, my takeaways from the game, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, man, that boy is a machine. He is literally a machine. You know, I called the boy going for 150 yards on the ground. He exceeded my expectations and went for 159 on the ground. and he's just a beast. Man, Zeke is just a beast, and that's just what it is. You know, it's crazy. Back in the draft, I was a little skeptical. I was a little irritated that Dallas didn't pick up somebody for the defensive side of the ball, with that fourth overall draft pick. But this is exactly probably the reason why I'm not in the executive offices of the Dallas Cowboys yet, because you know, Zeke was a great pickup, man. You know, he went off again for that 159 yards. Dak, man. Just ignoring the outside noise, you know, what I could appreciate about Dak and what most people who are really paying attention to him play is that Dak is 9 times out of 10 not going to make the same mistake twice. He's just not going to do it. He's a player that learns from him his mistakes, and sometimes that's in game. Sometimes that may be, you know, after the game, and then you notice that he picks it up. He followed up his worst performance of the season with his best. He was absolutely, absolutely sensational, man. He went 32 of 36 for 279 yards. He ran in for a touchdown. He did not have any interceptions. I really, really, really can't say enough about Dak, really. He's just poised. He's very wise when it comes to his decision making. He again does not make the same mistake twice, and that's just something that was great to me. You know, that defense stepped up when they needed to step up. Again, the philosophy, bend but don't break. And you know, to be honest, that's just how they've been all season, despite the two losses coming from the Giants. I mean, they held the Giants to 10 points. That last game. So they're, you know, they're bending and they're not breaking. So the defense is definitely stepping up, and I believe we have a, you know, defensive end that's coming back this week. But let me ask you, do you believe that Dak silenced the haters with his best performance of the year? Do you think he kind of quieted people down? They'll shut up about the QB controversy going forward, or you know,
quiet, kind of, sort of, you know, again, the NFL, similar to any other major sport, is going to always be one of those what have you done for me lately type leagues. And so when you put it in like that, like, yeah, I could say this, going into the Detroit game, yeah, everybody is Dak, you know, but if he come out there and drop a big game like that,
think
you
up
know,
the
against
place,
the Lions. You know, it's going to, oh, we need Romo before, you know, we play the Eagles. It's a division game. You know, we definitely need to win this game and, yeah, that kind of thing. Or, you know, God forbid, if, you know, they go ahead and win out and Dak blow it in the playoffs. You know, oh, wow, we should have had Tony in. We should have let him do the last couple of games. Tony would have did this. Dak is going to live in that cloud under Tony until Tony is not on the team or until Tony is retired. And so that's just that, you know, and I think Dak understands that. So to answer your question, for the next 7 days, he's definitely silenced the haters. He's shown what he can do. He's shown pure greatness. At the same time, anytime he slips, the Romo chatter is going to be louder and louder. And again, that kind of falls back on, you know, their owner, Jerry Jones. He's the one that continued a lot of this controversy. I mean, he finally admitted to it. But he's the one that kind of, you know, kept a lot
and
of that
going. We will definitely get into that later.
Right.
We're about to put him back in the shut the hell up club, but go ahead.
We have to. Yeah, you know, so that's where it kind of goes. And so that's what I would say, you know. So Dak will forever live under that Tony Romo cloud, if you will, until he's retired or not on that team at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that he, again, it's a week-by-week basis. I mean, you know, like you said, if he goes in and, you know, stinks up the place at the Detroit game, we will hear the Romo chant again. And I do believe the same thing, that he's going to be in Romo's shadow until Romo isn't there. And, again, that goes based off of because Jerry Jones doesn't know how to shut up. Dak is just doing such a great job, and a lot of that is a lot of his success, a lot of him being able to be so cool and calm and composed. I mean, that has a lot to do with Ezekiel Elliott, man, being able to take that load off of him. Again, 159 yards on the ground, just this game, jumped in. He even, the man is so influential. He even caused a 61% spike within 12 hours for the Salvation Army when it comes to their donation. 61%, and it was funny because people were donating $21, because his number is number 21.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
they were donating like $21 because of Zeke. So he's a pretty big deal. Do you I'm not quite sure if I remember us having this conversation, but is he in your MVP conversation? Is he
for sure.
Is Ezekiel Elliott the MVP of the league?
I would say you definitely
now,
have to get him.
No, right. I asked you. Now, is he in your conversation? That's different from, is he the MVP of the league? Is he your MVP?
Okay. Like, is he my MVP? Personally, no. That'd be Rain Dakota Prescott. But
I knew it, dog. I knew it.
Sorry. I mean, if they give me a vote, I've already voted Dak for Pro Bowl, which he's the first rookie quarterback in Dallas Cowboys history to be
nice.
A Pro Bowl.
Those came out today. Those selections
came out today.
So that's pretty dope.
This is all fresh information straight from the presses. But, to answer your question, in my conversation, I think he would be a lot – Ezekiel that I'm speaking of, I think he's in a lot of people conversations, including mine. I think he would be a lot of people MVPs. That's not necessarily biased to Dak Prescott, unlike me. But – I think, to be fair, though, Ezekiel Elliott, when he's doing what he does best, as you mentioned, getting 100-plus yards, it changed the whole dynamic of Dallas's offense. Look at the time possession. Dallas ran this game 36-04 compared to Tampa Bay's 23-56. And you may remember in our earlier shows, we always talked about that is how Dallas wins the game. They win the game because they can just own the clock. And if you look back at that fourth quarter, Dallas owned that clock. If I'm not mistaken, it was from like around a 10-minute mark to almost a 5 or 4-minute mark. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but when I was watching the game, I noticed Dallas had the ball for a big swath of that time, and it really put Tampa Bay kind of against the clock. Like, if Tampa Bay could have had an extra couple of minutes, maybe Famous Jameis could have done something. And we'll talk about him in a moment, how I think he did pretty well prime time. Ezekiel Elliott, when he's doing what he does best, getting 150-plus yards, that's when you can see how that offense just completely changes. So I have to be fair. I know I would personally vote for that, but I would be fair and say, if you want to talk about who's the MVP of this team, you have to give it to Ezekiel.
I'm a bit torn when it comes to this question. I'm mainly torn because, Cowboys Nation, do not crucify me here.
Uh-oh.
But my favorite player in the game is Tom Brady. I am a Dallas Cowboys fan to the death of me. It is,
How does that work?
That's what it is. That's never going anywhere. It's never going anywhere. Okay. I'm always going to love Dallas.
Can you give us like 45 seconds of that conversation? How does that work? So you're Tom Brady. So let me ask this question. If it happens, if Tom Brady, I know all the fans that's listening right now, I just want to know, like, Tom Brady, they're running the AFC right now. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, they look, pretty tough to beat. If they happen to meet up down in Houston, where is your loyalty riding at?
Well, again, I am a fan of Tom Brady, not the Patriots.
Okay. Okay.
And so my loyalty is always going to lie with, Dallas. However, that is, again, Cowboys Nation, don't crucify me. I am not necessarily sure I would watch that game, mainly because I still have concerns on the defense.
Okay.
And I know what my favorite player is capable of. Everybody knows what Tom Brady is capable of, and that is killing your defense. Shredding it,
okay.
Annihilating it. It's not, it's not a problem for him. So, I don't even like thinking about that. I just pray that would never happen.
Okay.
Because, I would definitely be going for Dallas. Dallas hasn't won a championship in over 20-plus years. Tom Brady has had a championship within the last three. That goes without saying, but I would just hope that it doesn't even come down to that. But, you know, with that being said, I mean, I just can't write off Tom Brady, you know, being right. MVP. I mean, yeah, he missed four games, and that's a big topic of the conversation when people, you know, talk about you can't miss four games and, you know, still be voted MVP. I mean, man, he is just doing it, and he's doing it with no names. I mean, not necessarily no names. I mean, these people have names now because of him, but he just always finds a way to get it done. And, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, he's definitely in the conversation. I mean, people talk about how great that offensive line in Dallas is. That offensive yeah. line means nothing if you don't have a running back in the backfield that has vision. We're going to take Alfred Morris, for example. Alfred Morris is a great running back, but he does not nearly pick up the yardage that Ezekiel Elliott does. And it has a lot to do, the running styles are different, but he doesn't necessarily see the holes and maneuvers the way that Zeke does. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, you can have the line, but if the running back isn't seeing the holes and doing what he's supposed to do, then the line means nothing. So Ezekiel Elliott definitely is in the conversation for MVP. I can't necessarily give him that, though, because Tom Brady is just that dude. He always will be. It's just what it is, you know. So
I mean, look, Tom, yeah. in my personal opinion, look, this is how I feel about Tom Brady. I mean, yeah, Tom Brady can pad the stat sheets, but, I mean, the Patriots are always in that conversation as far as, like, going to the Super Bowl and things like that, but – I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes the Patriots are a little bit overrated.
Oh, how dare you speak that blasphemy? That's blasphemy, dude. You're speaking blasphemy right now. What do you mean they're always overrated? It's different. It's different if they're overrated and they're not living up. Dude, they have won the last 10 NFC East titles. They have won, I believe. I may be wrong.
You mean AFC.
AFC East titles, yes. I want to say that number is right, and I'm going to have, you know, our folks look into that. Fact check.
Okay.
Fact checker. But they, it's, you know, you just speaking, you know, you're just a hater. You sound like a,
no,
you sound
hater.
Like a hater.
Well, Let me say this real quick. I know we got to get back on our Cowboys beat, but I'm saying, look, the last time they won a Super Bowl was, what, 15? After that, they haven't won a Super Bowl since. When was the last
before
time they
that,
won a Super Bowl?
Before that, I believe it was like 8 years. But that's not the point. They're still always in the conversation.
And that's it. It's just a talk. It's a lot of people that's in the conversation. I mean, you know, you could go into the NBA. The Chicago Bulls are always in the conversation, but they haven't won
nothing
since 98, 90.
The Chicago Bulls are not always in the championship conversation. Get out of my face with that. Come on now. Let's keep it 100. They're not in the conversation. Are they in the championship conversation this year? Are they getting
not
past the
now.
Cast? Listen, we might have to branch off to another show, y'all. We might have to talk NBA because me and Josh can do it both. But, you know, getting back on the MVP conversation again, Tom Brady, to me, would be this year's MVP, again, depending on, you know, how his year ends. Now, let me just say, that's
You're
different
right.
if Dallas mess around and win this Super Bowl. My, and especially if they go against the Patriots and win this Super Bowl, and we all know a lot of that, if they win the Super Bowl, is going to be, a lot of that is going to have to do with Ezekiel Elliott. Then I may consider changing my pick, but right now it's just the man, the myth, Tom Brady. You know, I would have to go for him. But, again, Zeke is in the conversation.
Oh, before
respect,
we
you know.
Move on, I will give Tom Brady disrespect. A lot of people question how would he respond going into Denver. Denver has been a place where a lot of his he wasn't really successful playing out there in Denver. I believe they play in, what, the Sports Authority Stadium, something like that. But anyway, they did end up defeating the Broncos, and as you already know, the Patriots are looking pretty nice. And really, the landscape is really open out there in the AFC for Tom Brady and company, outside of maybe the Raiders, outside of maybe – well, Kansas City lost to Tennessee.
Steelers.
So
Steelers looking
yeah,
great.
Steelers are looking really
looking
great.
Great. They're never completely dead in the water, so –
This is true. So they're like that the shark you can't see in the water. You got to watch out for the Steelers so they can't come back and bite you. But, yeah, shout out to the Patriots and Tom Brady. I know you're a Brady fan, so I had to, you know, that which was a
Yes,
bit
I mean they're doing
sad.
great, and like you said, going to Denver, that defense for Denver is always a problem for Tom Brady. Just watching the Patriots, period, coming down to playoff, at the end of the season, getting into the playoffs, it's important that the Patriots secure home field because they don't do well when when they don't have home field. If roads don't go through New England, AFC wise, they don't do well. They'll drop like the second. They'll drop like the division game, and then they just won't even end up in the NFC, the AFC Championship. So that Denver defense has always been a problem for him. I definitely want to stay on the topic of defense, though. We're going to move away from the AFC. Again, you are listening to Fox Sports, 1340AM.com, Cowboy Zone with Ashley Baker and Josh Vinson. Defense. The Dallas Cowboys defense, I believe this was another one of my predictions. I'm psychic, everybody. I'm trying to tell y'all what I
We
know.
see.
I'm
We
trying to
see.
tell y'all
I'm
what I
about to
know.
ask.
I'm trying to tell y'all what I
Can
know.
you read my palm after the show? I need to know what's happening for 2017.
I said that this defense was going to step up, and they allowed 20 points. That's fine. I believe that that's their season average, between 17 to 20 points. They're allowing teams to score that. But this defense is making plays when necessary. Again, bending but not breaking. David Irving ended up getting the game ball. Now, Cowboys Nation, I'm not going to, I know nobody in Cowboys Nation is stupid. If you're a part of Cowboys Nation, you know who David Irving is. You know who he is. You know that. Man, when I tell you this guy let everybody else outside of Cowboys Nation know who he was, I mean, up and down my timeline, David Irving, David Irving. Oh my gosh. Like, he was a really big deal. He got the game ball. Was that a surprise to you? That he did so well, and again we have the Dallas Cowboys have Gregory coming back. They have Gregory coming back this week. Jerry Jones said he will play. So you think that this defense is going to get better? They're starting to kind of find a rhythm here. They ain't giving up no plays, man. For real, for real. They ain't hearing it. Besides Brandon Carr, shout out to Brandon Carr, who is always on the receiving end of a touchdown on him or a
This is
long
why we're not
ball.
getting invited to the
Brandon
Dallas
Carr,
Cowboys Christmas party. This is the reason
Brandon
why.
Carr, he listen, he has to have some type of intel in on Jerry. That's the only way the man can still be there. Like he has to be blackmailing this team. That's the only way he can still be on the team. It has to be some type of blackmail. Like he knows something. Somebody didn't pay taxes, or somebody got away with fraud, or something. I don't know. But the man should not be playing professional football. Okay, catch the shade. I don't care.
All
Let's get
the
back to
shade.
David Irving. What do you think about his performance on a Sunday night?
I think he was amazing, and I mean, I think his play not only extends actually to the defense as a whole. Things were getting kind of shaky in the third quarter as Dallas allowed 13 points, and Jameis was definitely moving the ball. He was looking really good, and you thought for a second like, oh, Jameis might, he might really show us what he can do. But he did end up throwing three interceptions, and again, that's to the defense credit. And they did shut down Tampa Bay in the fourth quarter. You were talking about how they have Giants down for a total game 10 points. Dallas scored 9 points, and Tampa Bay didn't score anything in the fourth. And you even look in the first and the second quarters as well. I know Dallas didn't really score anything in the first either, but a lot of that was based on things that they were kind of doing. So, kind of to answer your question, I like to say, like, yeah, Dallas's defense is continuing to improve. And if you want to talk about how this team will be successful as you move on into the postseason, it's really going to be the back of the defense because I'll be honest, I'm not really concerned about the offense. I'm not concerned about Dak. I'm not really concerned about Zeke. That offensive
I'd
line is
agree with
there.
you. Yeah, I'd
I'm
agree with
more
you there.
concerned about that defense, because if that defense is facing one of those, and we were kind of, talking about that before the game, prior to the game, talking about, Jameis, he can run and he can get hot. How will that Cowboys defense respond? And we saw what happened in the third. I was like, oh, what's going to happen now? So it's one of those things where you want your defense to be in the best position ever. And so hopefully the defense can continue to grow on top of this. I would like to see them play Detroit and keep Detroit to only 14 points. if that. I would like to see them, really get some balls off Matthew Stafford. I would like to see them, as they get ready to play Carson Wentz coming up a couple of weeks after that. I would like to see them, I really hold in on him and not really allow him to score because, Philadelphia did get Dallas a great run for their money. I think that's when they went overtime way earlier in the season. So
Yeah.
to answer your question in short, yeah, defense is definitely getting better. As you mentioned, Jerry did say he's getting one of his players back, so that's going to be good. But that's something that they definitely want to hone in on for sure because you're not going to be successful if you got an all offense and you don't have any defense. I mean, you look at the Oakland Raiders, that's what they got going on right now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the defense at the end of, towards the end of the game, literally were harassing Jameis Winston. And I mean,
Yeah.
David Irvin just all up in that man's face, even to the last play of the game where he happened to throw the interception to Orlando Scandrick, to pretty much seal everything for Dallas. Man, he was 17 of 35, 247 yards, two touchdowns, and he had three interceptions.
Yeah.
So your famous Jameis, again, like you said, he looked good at time. I personally don't think he had a great night overall. I feel like the lights were too big for him in Jerry World, on a prime time game and on a game they really needed to win because dropping that game took them completely out of the wild card picture, and inserted Green Bay. How would you rate Jameis's performance? I mean, how would you grade that? If I had to give him a grade, I would, because of what was at stake, I mean, and to come out and have that type of game, and I know a lot of it had to do with the defense. I mean, Dallas did put up 26 points, and
Yeah.
Dak was amazing, and I think he only missed like four passes on the night. So, I mean, I would have to give him a C again because of what was at stake. What would you grade Jameis?
I'll give him a
Famous
little
Jameis.
higher than that. Famous James. Yeah, I'll give him a little higher than that. I'll give him a four, a B, a B minus. And the reason why I'll give him that slight edge is just to say, okay, yes, granted, he was 17 for 35. He did have two touchdowns and he did also have three interceptions. All of that is to be taken into consideration. I don't think that it was that the lights were too big for him. I think Jameis, and we saw that on one play as they got into the red zone. I think the play was blown dead, but then the guy that was kind of running the ball, I think the Dallas defender kind of threw him down or whatever. And Jameis got all upset about it, I guess trying to defend his teammate, and he like headbutted one of Dallas's player, and the player put his arm up like, "What? Like that ain't my
Stupid.
bad." Like,
Stupid.
yeah,
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
was stupid. It was a costly 15-yard penalty, and I believe that happened right
Exactly.
before half. And so it's things like that that Jameis have always kind of had an issue with back in his Florida State days, where he has to have more controlled emotions. I'm all for your quarterbacks being emotional. I'm all for the passion. Like you see Dak, his eyes are wide and he's, but Dak is not out there headbutting people, knowing that right there
Right.
that's going to get you a 15-yard penalty. And they couldn't convert on that. They didn't get a chance to actually score a touchdown. You score a touchdown there, the outcome of the game could very well be different. Or you're not necessarily playing with your backs against the wall in the fourth quarter. So I say all of that to say, I'll give him a B minus because he wasn't awful. Yeah, he did have those three interceptions, but a lot of that was just because of the pressure that was coming his way. And it's not like Tampa Bay has the best offensive line. So I can't really, say, oh, well, Tampa Bay has this great offensive line. I mean, Dallas was blitzing, something that you don't really see the Cowboys do a lot. Dallas was
That's
blitzing.
true.
So that I would say I would give him, a B minus. He still passed the class per se, if this, with everybody taking finals now. He still passed the class, but there are some things that he definitely, want to work on. And moving forward, you're right, they may not necessarily make the playoffs. They are completely out of the playoff picture currently. Not saying that they want, possibly get back in there, but right now it's looking all Green Bay, and that's probably where it's going to end up being. But I say all of this to say, to wrap up real quick, is to say if Famous Jameis can kind of get a little more maturity, and I think he's definitely learned his lesson from the headbutt issue. If he can get a little more maturity, get a couple more pieces around him, Tampa Bay is going to be that team you're going to see to come. You'll see these Dallas and Tampa Bay games down the line. We'll be talking about the two teams next year, the year after that, as they continue to grow and mature.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, guys, you are tuned into Cowboy Zone here on Fox Sports 1340AM.com with Ashley Baker and Josh Vinson. Again, such a good game, one of the highest-rated Sunday night football games, as it always is with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, let's just face it, they are America's team, and people love to see them win or, want to see them lose. Either way, they love to hate the Dallas Cowboys, the controversy, the drama, the all of that stuff that, engulfs this team. And, having said that, a lot of that seems to be caused by the owner himself, Mr. Jerry Jones.
Our favorite person. I'm not going to talk bad about him too much because I was invited to the Christmas party, so I don't want my invite, to get revoked. But, yeah.
Well, honey, I wasn't invited to nothing, so I plan on speaking my mind. Jerry Jones, earlier this week, decided to admit that he stares the pot when it comes to this Cowboy controversy with the QB position. Let me just go ahead
theory.
And state how I feel about this. Let me just go ahead and
go
state
ahead.
How I feel about this. I think Jerry Jones is an idiot. I think he's an idiot, and I think he's a liar. I think that he first of all, the man loves him some Tony Romo. Okay, so it's almost like he's backpedaling on what he said because Dak came out and had such a fire performance. Okay, so he came out and said, I intentionally do it. It makes for great storyline or whatever he said. It makes just for great TV, and it's drama, and that's what football is. And I'm like, Jerry, you said that because you probably did not expect Dak to come out and have the type of game he had.
Right.
So, you meant what you meant for real, what you said, you'll know when it's time or something to that, nature when it comes to Tony Romo, when he knows that he should just shut the hell up. Again,
yeah.
He's back in the shut the hell up club. This is the second straight week for you, Jerry. I don't know when you're going to – we're going to have to get him, like, a gold jacket, like a members-only joint, like the Hall of Fame joint. That's what he need, the shut the hell up club, because he really just need to sit back and let his team do what they do. And, again, as I stated last week, this does not necessarily concern me right now because I think Dak is the type of player that – is focused, and I believe that he doesn't hear outside noise and just keep him moving. But my concern is the future. Like,
yeah.
Over a certain amount, it might not piss Dak off right now, but over a certain amount of time, sir, this could start to irritate him a bit. I have a big problem with Jerry Jones just not knowing when to shut up. Like, it does everything that they are, like I said last week, they're the Dallas Cowboys. They're always going to have controversy. They're always going to be the talk of the town. Win or lose, 4-12, 12-4, 15-1, 1-15. They're always going to be that team. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So you don't need to. I bet you if Jerry shut up for a year, he'll see that for himself. Well, gosh darn it, I don't need to talk. I can just shut up because of who they are. I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem with the tone he's setting. You know what I'm saying?
I agree wholeheartedly. On a serious note, I think that Jerry really needs to kind of back down from that because, yes, I know Dak doesn't necessarily – well, okay, let me start over by saying this. Any athlete that says they don't listen to outside noise is lying because even if they aren't the ones – look – everybody watches, all of those just sports shows, whether it's, FS1 or if you watch some of the other networks. Everybody does that, right? I mean, let's be honest. We all grew up kind of watching SportsCenter before there was
yeah,
a Fox
but, but before you, but before you say that, Josh, he didn't say that he doesn't hear it. He doesn't listen to it. He doesn't listen to the outside noise. You know what I'm saying? I can hear you talking. That don't mean I'm listening to you. You know what I'm saying?
True,
I think he hear it, but listening is different.
Listen,
he ain't letting it affect his psyche.
he's not letting it affect his psyche. So maybe he should change his wording. Maybe he should say he's not necessarily allowing that type of rhetoric to affect his psyche. But he's
That's
definitely
true.
listening.
Okay.
Jerry Jones is signing your check. So you're listening to the fact that you just had a bad game against the New York Giants. You didn't play the best game in Minneapolis, and then your owner of the owner of the team is saying, your boss pretty much is saying, oh, don't worry, don't worry. I'm, you know, he, Tony will be back when he'll be back. You know, just you'll know when you see it. I mean, you have to hear that. That's kind of like if I'm working at Target, right? And my supervisor is telling everybody, oh yeah, Josh's gonna be fired. I mean, I may continue doing my job at checkout line number 9, but I'm, you know, I hear him saying what he's saying. I may not allow it to affect my customer service, but I'm still hearing this guy talk. So I say all that to say this to make a quick point. I do applaud Dak for not allowing that to affect his psyche. He went out and did what he was supposed to do, did what he's always done, and I'm glad that he, you know, performed at the level that he performed at. He was errorless, and that's something that his brother and I spoke about in our exclusive that we'll be dropping tomorrow over at Fox Sports 1340 AM. How his mom was their biggest coach, and she did not like interceptions. She didn't like turnovers, and she would have been very proud last this past Sunday because Dak had none of those. But I'll make my point by saying that. I really believe that Jerry does need to be quiet on this matter because it's gotten out of hand. It's not one of those, oh, you know, it's kind of cute and funny. Like, Dak's job was literally on the line. Because if Dak would have came
Yeah.
out tonight and would have stunk up the field, Jerry Jones would have had to put Tony Romo back into that game if he wanted to kind of keep things going the way the Dallas season is going. But it's the way you're doing that. I don't think it's nothing wrong with you benching a player. I don't think it's nothing wrong with you saying, okay, well, Tony Romo, let's bring him back in here. He got the poise, he got the experience. You and I discussed this since the beginning of time. We said, hey, back when Seattle used to look like somebody important, we used to say all the time, you would need somebody like Tony Romo who's had experience against playing Seattle, whether it's in Seattle or whatever the case may be. You would need that type of leadership, that veteranship. And that's something that Dak does not possess. I don't care how great he is. I know his brother and I was talking earlier, and he was saying how Dak leaves the house at 6 in the morning, don't get back until 8 o'clock at night. I know he's a workhorse and has nothing but the utmost respect for Dak. But you can't teach veterans. You know, you can't teach veteranship. You can't teach maturity. That's something that just happens over time because you're in all these different
Exactly.
situations, and
I
that's
agree.
something that
I agree.
Romo has. So I'll just end by saying that. You know, I don't think it's anything wrong with you maybe getting Romo back into the offense to go and get that championship. I don't think anything is wrong with that. But if Jerry would have just been quiet about this from the beginning and said, hey, Dak is our quarterback. That's who we're rocking out with right now. You know, and we have Tony Romo to help out when he's needed. And just left it at
Right,
that.
exactly.
Cool. That would have been no problem.
Exactly.
But he
And it's,
continued to perpetuate, like, I'm waiting for Mac to slip so I can throw Tony back in there.
yeah,
And that's the
like
energy
that's
that he put out there.
yeah, and it's not a good energy, and it's, you know, I mean, I'm on the verge of saying something, but I would never want to really speak this into the atmosphere because I am a big believer in that, but gosh darn it, I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
I really would just this particular season, I would actually be okay with something like that happening where they have to put Tony in just for him to not exceed, like we know he won't, and just so that would shut Jerry the hell up. Like, oh, okay, well, you got your wish, and you see what happens, Mr. Genie, when you know what I'm saying? You get what you shut up. You know what I mean? Like, he just
You're going to get a
needs to,
lot of
like,
hate mail from Cowboy fans.
I really don't. I'm gonna keep it 100. Y'all know that's what I'm gonna do, and it just is what it is. I mean, it's been how many years has Tony been in the league? What, 12, 13 years? It's been 13 years of mediocrity. He's mediocre. He is the best non-elite quarterback there is. When you have the list of elite quarterbacks, the next list, non-elite, Tony's at the top of that list. I mean, and that's nothing. That's not. I'm not saying that the guy is 100% just awful. He's a scrub. We all know that Romo can play, Romo can ball. Again, like you said, we agree on, you know, his level of expertise and his veteran, you know, how much of a veteran he is and, you know, having so much experience. But, dude, move on.
Yeah.
Every dog has his day. You know what I'm saying? And you got to make your future comfortable. You have to, you know, make sure that your future feels great about Dallas being his future. You know what I mean? So it's just, I mean, if people want to send me hate mail, that's fine. Let y'all tell it. The moment Dak slip, y'all going to be calling for Romo. And I'm
right.
Sick of it, and so is Dez. Dez sick of it, too. Dez told y'all folks, and it's some of y'all in Cowboys Nation, I'm just going to go ahead and put it on out there. A lot of y'all in Cowboys Nation, man, y'all bandwagon fans. Y'all bandwagon
Ooh.
Fans, y'all ready to switch up. Y'all don't want to see, you know, something play out or run its course. You ready to just completely just write off somebody such as Dak the moment he drops only the second game of the season, and we are only in week, and we are all the way in week 14. You know what I'm saying? You okay with Dez talking to the nation, telling the nation to, you know, to hop off, you know, the nation writing them off? And I think he's talking about Cowboys
yeah.
Nation, for real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you okay? I'm perfectly fine with Dez saying that. I need Dez to catch balls. He need to make sure he catching balls and, you know what I'm saying,
that's
not,
what I was
not dropping
say.
No pivotal passes. But besides that.
I was going to say, I would be fine with Dez saying that. If he wasn't out there dropping balls against the Giants when they could have won that game, that's me, no shade,
I ain't the only
but all
no
shade.
See, y'all be trying to come for me like I'm the only person that throw shade on this show. It ain't me. It ain't just me. It's Josh. Josh does it too.
You started it. So when you was talking about Jerry Jones, you putting him in the shutdown box, I'm gonna put I'm putting our good friend Dez in there. Because, hey, Dez, how you doing today? Let me talk to you for a second, Dez. How you doing? Let me talk to you. Dez, I like to say when you guys played the Giants, you know what I'm saying, Dak threw you the ball. You dropped the ball. I mean, you guys could have been in a position.
A couple of times.
You guys could have been in a position to get a field goal from Bailey, tie a game, what can happen overtime, nobody know. We got to go now on and talk about what could have, should have, would have. You know what I'm saying? And even the Tampa Bay game, if I'm not mistaken, it seemed as though Dak had to kind of force himself to throw the ball to you. I mean, because you just either A, can't get open, or B, you just can't catch. So before you start addressing Cowboys Nation, can you have a good game? That's all I'm saying.
We need him to go in baby Megatron mode. You know what I'm saying?
Or
like
something.
We need Dez in beast mode. So Josh, you know, has a problem with Dez telling bandwagon fans to hop off. Thinks he needs to work on his performance a little more before he start talking.
Yeah.
I absolutely again have no problem because I'm tired of the wish-wash fairweather fans that make up the Dallas Cowboys Nation,
which is why so many other
nations, Seattle, Redskins, Giants, that's why so many other like fan bases can talk to trash if they talk to trash about our particular fan base because they are fair weather. I mean, one minute you hear from them,
I'll give you that.
You couldn't find a Dallas Cowboy fan last year when they was 4-12.
Let me say this right quick. I don't disagree with his message. I disagree with who's saying it. If this would have been Bailey saying it, if this would have been Witten saying it, if this would have been anybody else that has been productive,
either. He missed 2 field goals.
Okay, well, I mean, that was, I mean, for 50 yards, though, you can't really count, you know, come on. I mean.
I guess I'll let him live.
Yeah, come on, let him live. He said, look what he's done for y'all over the course of the season, which we can't really say that about Dez. And that's my take on it. I don't have a problem with his message. Just like we spoke about last week with Sua Cravens, I didn't have a problem with his message to Redskins fans when he was like, oh, now y'all all fans again. I didn't necessarily have a problem with his message, but I'm like, bruh. Where have you been, Brett? Like, you know, you came out of USC. Right. Like, all we know of you, you just some light skin that takes pictures on Instagram. Like, when the last time you did something on the defensive end? So it was like, who said it that I had a problem with? You know what I'm saying? So that's my take. Yeah. But, yeah, Dez makes a great point. But I haven't heard from Dez Bryant since Thanksgiving game, and last time I checked, it's almost Christmas. But I
Yeah,
have the
that's
receipts.
real.
Yeah, you
That's
know.
real. And I agree with you on that. And I think that Dez needs to step up, and he needs to boss up, a little bit more. And I think that this Monday's game, playing the Lions, would be the perfect game for him to boss up. As you mentioned earlier, if the Dallas Cowboys win this game, in Jerry World, prime time Monday night against the Detroit Lions, they will not only secure the division, but they will secure a first round bye in the playoffs. I believe home field is still up for grabs. I don't believe that they would clinch home field. Again, fact checks, we need to check that out. But this Monday night matchup against the Lions, are you worried? What's your three keys to success for Dallas to win this game? What is it that they need to do to get this W?
My three keys would be this. First and foremost, I need the defense to step up. You don't want to underestimate the offense of the Detroit Lions. Even though, if I'm not mistaken, didn't the Lions just lose this last time Sunday against the Giants? They did. So you don't want to underestimate the offense of the Lions. This is the same Matthew Stafford who, again, is in the same MVP conversations like Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. You talk to some people in the NFC North, they'll tell you, hey, Matthew Stafford isn't doing his thing. You don't want to underestimate that team. At the same time, one thing you to take note of is Matthew Stafford is still throwing with that torn ligament in his finger. So his throws is not where they need to be. So he's not playing 100%. But again, that's my whole take on not necessarily being underestimating Detroit. The second thing is that I need Dallas offense to continue to do what they did against Tampa Bay. You don't want to regress. You want to progress. So you want Ezekiel Elliott to get 100 and something plus yards. I need Dak Prescott to have that 88% accuracy. I need him, throwing that ball. Dez, hey, you want to talk about your bandwagon fans. I need you to solidify your fan base and solidify your role on this team by being one of the best wide receivers. I need you to catch the ball. Dan Bailey, I need you to kick your field goals. I need everybody to do what they normally do. I need them to also control the game with the clock. At the end of the day, that's the major key. If Dallas can control this game like 36, 37 minutes compared to 24, 23, if they can control this game like they did against Tampa Bay, that's what's going to give them the edge. As again, to point out the game that we just watched against Tampa Bay, when you look back at that fourth quarter, anybody that's listening, you look back at that fourth quarter, you look at that big swath of minutes. I wish I had the stats in front of me, the time of possession that they had just in the fourth quarter alone. And it was, I would say, 80-20 Dallas. Like they had the majority of that fourth quarter. And that's what made Famous Jameis back be against the wall. He did not have enough time to even try to get something down the field, to even try to put his team in a position to score. Plus, he's facing this powerful, defense that just woke up in the fourth quarter. So those are the things that I'm looking out for against this game because Detroit, they're going to come into Dallas fighting for their lives because they know if they drop this game against Dallas, Green Bay is going to pretty much have a cakewalk into the NFC North and win the NFC North championship. And if you've really been paying attention to that section of the country in football, Detroit pretty much been leading this division since the Vikings fell off. Everybody else was just kind of in wilderness. The Bears, I don't even know if they still exist. But everybody else was just kind of in wilderness. So I say all of that to say that Detroit is not a team that you're going to be able to just roll over. You're going to have to beat them. You're going to have to defeat them. And everybody's going to have to bring their A game. Because if not, the defense is sleeping. If Dak Prescott is, they having their three and outs, they're not really advancing the ball. Zeke not really getting the touches that he needs. It's going to be a long night for Dallas. And then we'll hear about how maybe they should have played Tony Romo. Ashley, are you still there? Perhaps Ashley's all asleep on us here on the show. Ashley,
Uh-oh.
oh,
I am
there you go.
here.
There she
I'm
goes.
here.
She's back.
Sorry guys. I'm on. I'm here. I was saying that I think this is going to be a really great game. Randy Gregory back. I was talking. Y'all couldn't hear me. I think my mic was on
oh.
mute. Randy Gregory is back. Yeah, pass rush is back for Dallas. More pass rush. You know, David Irvin was so great on Sunday. This is going to be really good for Dallas to have. And again, like you said, Matthew Stafford is banged up with that hand injury. So I'm going to go the same where you went. My three key successes, quite simple. Time of possession. We need to have some better play callings. Listen, I cannot stand when Jason Witten is called for plays third down wise where he has to run any more than 5 yards. That is a play Scott Linehan has got to scratch. I mean, he's reliable, but Jason is big and Jason is slow. If you're going to give it to him on a third and five, you need to at least let him run 6 yards. Don't give Jason the ball on a third and 11, man, and then you only let him run 5 yards back because he's not making the other amount of yards to get the first. You know what I mean? And
right.
I know a lot of that can be just trying to eat up a little bit of the yards, a little bit of the field to put Dan Bailey out there for a kick. I get that, but, you know, there are other plays, and at 5 yards, I mean, Zeke is averaging 4.5, close to that amount. Just give the ball to Zeke on a third down and just see if he'll, you know, say whatever. That could just
might
be
as well.
I need the play calling to be. I mean, again, there's a lot that they can lock up, if they win this game. Time of possession, feeding Zeke, defense has to be on point.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford is no slouch. Like you said, they are going to come out understanding what is at stake, understanding how Green Bay just slid right into the DMs, slid themselves right into the playoff picture. And they played Green Bay the last game of the season. So it's going to be huge if they happen to beat Dallas, because Green Bay did not beat Dallas. You know what I mean? So that could be a decision making, that could be a playoff decision type thing at the end of the year for them. So they're going to come out and I expect Matthew Stafford to have a big game. Again, I'm expecting the defense to bend and not break. But time of possession, feed Zeke, defense needs to be on point. Those are my keys to success. If Dallas does that, I believe Dallas will win somewhere around, I'm going to go 27-10.
I think the defense may
hold them down.
Well, this is what I would say, though. If the defense holds them down and Matthew Stafford with his hand situation and he's kind of forcing the balls and he's getting picked off, I would have to say you may have to kind of bump up Dallas' score maybe so 27-10, because they're going to convert on a lot of that. And I think that's where the game is going to be. If that defense is really honing on and Stafford is trying his best to force some of these balls into some of his receivers and he's turning the ball over, like you see they got 3 picks off Famous Jameis, if they could get 5 to 6 picks off Stafford, which you know, if you were paying attention to the License Lions,
that would be,
you know,
woo,
right.
You talking about 5 or 6, good Lord, you really trying,
right,
ain't you?
I'm saying. You know, if that defense is, you know, there and that hand ain't working right for them, you know, those are things to kind of, you know, pay attention to. So if I'm giving a score, if the Dallas defense can hold on their ground, I would give a maybe 27-10 type thing, because I really believe that Dallas's offense is going to be okay. I think they're going to be elite. I think they're going to be great, because honestly, I'll be so honest with you, they have to be. Even though I know this is more of an important win, both teams, there's a lot at stake, but it's really more at stake for Detroit. Dallas only has to win one game. Really, if Dallas loses the next 2 games, which is not the end of the world, they're already in the playoffs. I mean, you don't want to go into the playoffs with that. But the point that I wanted to make real quick was that I think Dak and Zeke and that offense, I think they definitely want to make statements. for the remainder of the regular season to say, hey, we're not a little pushover team. Because you have a lot of people that say, oh, well, Dak is nobody elite. He's just standing behind a nice offensive line with a nice running back
Right,
to his side.
that's
You
true.
know, and so, you know, I think if Dak really continues to show his eliteness where, you know, okay, he has another 88% type game, but now he got 4 or 5 touchdowns. You know, something like that. You know, I think people will really start to be like, wow, okay, the Cowboys are serious. One last quick note about the Cowboys. I do like the fact that they got McFadden back. I did like to see him kind of get a few little
Shout
runs
out to
or whatever.
McFadden. That's my apologies.
Yeah.
I did not, you know, mention that. He definitely, I think his first run back was a first down. So that was
pretty
cool. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was it. So shout out to him. So, yeah. It's going to be very interesting looking at that playoff picture right now. If the playoffs were today, like if everything was right now, Dallas and Seattle obviously are both have first round byes. We'll be looking at the Packers playing down in Atlanta, and then there'll be a rematch between the Giants and the Lions. But again, that could be swapped if something happens where the Packers actually win the NFC North. Then I don't know if that would mean the Lions could potentially be out based on what else going on in the NFC East. It was a good thing for the Packers that the Redskins did. Did the Redskins even show up in that game on Monday? Did they show up? I don't know if they got a memo that it was a game. I don't know what happened. But
they didn't even score. Did they score a touchdown?
Did they? I don't even,
I think
you
they
know.
Did. Kirk Cousins did not throw a touchdown, but Robert Kelly did run in for one.
Right.
But
okay.
And that was a struggle. They just did not show up against Carolina at all. Monday night, prime time, big lights. They didn't show up, and that cost them big. Green Bay is hot. Let me just be the first to say, typically when Green Bay gets hot this time of the year, they find themselves in an NFC championship.
They do.
They get hot like the last 5, 6 games of the season. Next thing you know, they're rolling in the playoffs. So that's a team that Dallas definitely needs to keep their eye on. Of course, all 6 seeds are teams that, you know, Dallas needs to keep their eyes on. Again, you know, if the standings stay the way they are, you know, Dallas and Seattle will have those first and second round byes. You know, once Dallas plays in the division round, they play Green Bay if they win, or if Green Bay loses, then Dallas will play the winner of the Giants in the Detroit series. Lord, I'm already on NBA. Woo! They will play the Giants, the winner of the Giants-Detroit game. So,
right.
I mean, it's, yeah, man, I'm listen, we're going to have a spinoff show, man. Y'all don't understand.
I think so.
We definitely going to have to get that. We're going to have to get that popping, man.
We don't have to, Jeff. We're going to have to pick up a little NBA show soon, yeah, because this NFL is almost over. It's crazy.
I know, man. We're going to have to keep it going. But playoff picture is pretty cool. Again, like you said, Redskins didn't even show up. They were in control of their own fate. And they forgot about it. They forgot that part last night. They forgot that they're in the driver's seat of what happened to them. And if they went out, they were in. They just forgot. They forgot about it. They just forgot.
They forgot.
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
That was a terrible just performance. It just was not a great performance by the Redskins. And, you know, because I bragged about how explosive their offense is, man, and they just couldn't get it done last night. So Green Bay's in for the moment.
Yeah. And again, I'll say this to wrap up about the NFC North. I think, you know, Green Bay almost lost to Chicago. I'm not sure if people got a chance to see that game. I know it was here dominated in the Midwest, but they were blowing out the Bears at one point, and then I think they gave up 17 unanswered points.
17 unanswered, yep.
Yeah, and from there, it was the point where Chicago and Chicago was up, if I'm not mistaken, or they were tied, one or the other. But long story short, the Bears season pretty much went that the way the season went all the time in that game, where you had Aaron Rodgers just pretty much throw the longest pass in the world and got his first down.
That's not he does that, man. That's what Aaron Rodgers does, and that's what makes the Packers so deadly, is they can be that team that can slip up, you know what I'm saying, defensively. But when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, it's never really over until it's over. And that's just
and
what
that's
it
true.
Is. You know
that's
what I mean? And
true.
You know, so, you know, again, teams, you know, a team that everybody kind of needs to be on the lookout for when it comes to your NFC. Let's go ahead and give out the AMVP and JMVP.
Let's get it.
Cowboy Zone, Fox Sports, 1340 AM. We are wrapping up, folks. My AMVP is going to go to, again, the defensive side of the ball for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, listen, Dak, we all know Dak played amazing, and I know that's where you're going. Dak played amazing, man, but I got to give my AMVP to David Irving because without the pressure that he's putting on Jameis, we don't know what kind of bombs Jameis could have thrown, what kind of plays he could have converted. And, again, there's a possibility we may be having a different conversation if they weren't getting that pressure. So my AMVP is definitely going to go to Mr. David Irving of the defense. Who's your JMVP? Even though we already know. Go ahead and give us the spill anyway.
I don't think it's that obvious. I mean,
it's pretty obvious, sir. Especially with the game he had Sunday night. Oh, it's pretty obvious. Go ahead.
If I'm going to give out a most valuable player award, you have to give it to the guy that completed 32 out of 36 of his passes. That's 88.9%. You know, for 279 yards.
That
I don't know.
Is that Billy Joe? What is Billy Joe happening here?
Billy Joe. I was going to say, did Billy Joe call in? I know Billy Joe is not on this line. Last time we heard from them, they were stuck in Minneapolis. I don't know if they made it back home. We're going to have to check in on them next week and see if they're okay. But Dak, 20 touchdowns on the season. 3,418 yards. I say all of that to say, not only should he be the MVP of the league, but he should be your MVP. I understand Ingram did his thing, but he should be your MVP. He should be Fox Sports 1340 AM MVP.
I'm going to give other players opportunities to be the AMVP, and
okay,
I'm not going to center my MVP vote based on, you know, my favorite.
He's not my favorite. Greatness recognized greatness.
Can y'all hear lies right now, Cowboys Nation? Can you hear the foolery, the BS? I'm going to say it. The BS that I hear right now, because that's what I hear right now. Listen.
Everybody
with David Irving.
That's fine. Everybody in Texas, everybody Grapevine, Arlington, Fort Worth, Jasper, everybody out in Texas, San Antonio, Houston, shout out the whole state, all right? Because this cow, Oklahoma City, Little Rock, Arkansas, shout out the whole Cowboys metro area. They know Dak Prescott is the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. You look at the records that he's broken for the Dallas Cowboys.
You seriously sound like Billy Joe right now. You seriously sound like Billy Joe. Listen, we wrapping up.
We wrapping up.
Okay, his JMVP has been Dak Prescott. This is episode 7, folks. He has given his JMVP to Dak. He has talked Billy Joe into giving it to Dak. He has your brother gave it to Dak when he was on the first episode. Listen,
Yeah. That's
fine. I get it. You're an influential guy. You're influencing a lot. But don't be surprised, folks, for the next 3 or 4 games if he gets the JMVP again. So, listen, we signing out here. Cowboys
so
on
bad.
Fox Sports 1340 AM.com, man. We want you guys to make sure that you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Periscope, Snapchat, wherever you are. We are my Twitter handle, AshleyBaker_21. Josh, you know, you got to go ahead and give the folks what they waiting for. What's yours?
right. Mine is the Josh A. Vincent. Follow your boy. Follow us on every platform. We are there. Fox Sports 1340 AM. You guys are the reason why we do this. We provide excellent coverage of the Dallas Cowboys. We are your number one source in the Mid-Atlantic for all things Dallas Cowboys. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. 1340 AM Fox Sports, or it may be Fox Sports 1340 AM. You'll find us. Hopewell, Virginia.
Yo,
that's how
we
do
out.
We signing out. Have a good night.
We signing out, folks. Bye. We will talk to you guys Listen, we will talk to you guys next Tuesday because, again, the Dallas Cowboys host the Detroit Lions Monday night primetime. This is like the fifth, sixth straight primetime game. You know, the Cowboys are doing it. So we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in.
Wait, before you go, Ashley, before you go,
Uh-oh.
we got to tell everybody happy holidays. We're not going to talk to them until after the
Oh
holidays.
my gosh. Oh,
Yeah.
you know, we have not mentioned the holidays the whole time. Merry Christmas, folks. Listen,
Merry
I am
Christmas.
so just engulfed in I'm so engulfed in Dallas. I'm forgetting. I'm sorry.
I'm
Listen,
like,
and we want to
you
shout out.
didn't wish
We go
somebody.
before we even do that. Before we have to. We really do have to wrap it up. We want to not only wish you guys a Merry Christmas, but we want to let you know to make sure to tune in to the Bulls. Will host, or I think the Bulls play the Spurs. The Warriors play the Cavs.
Yeah.
The Thunder play the Clippers. I want to say.
I
It's
think they
some good
do.
basketball on
It's some good
Sunday. It's some good
basketball. Knicks
basketball
play the
on Sunday.
Celtics. It's going to be some great basketball on Sunday. Make sure you spend a lot of
Like
time with your family.
four or five games. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on top of, you know, celebrating with your family, guys, make sure you guys tune into some NBA basketball. It should be pretty lit. The NBA, I'm sorry, the NFL games are going to be on Saturday, folks. There will be no NFL on Sunday. All NFL
That's,
games will be
yeah,
played
I'll be on
Saturday night. So
Saturday. So we got the
definitely wanted to
Redskins
let you
playing
guys know
the
that.
Chicago. Real quick before we go, we got the Redskins. For everybody listening out in Washington, the Redskins are here in Chicago. They're going to play against the Bears. The Wizards are here in Chicago. They'll play against the Bulls. And then, as we just already mentioned, the Cowboys will host the Detroit Lions the day after Christmas, December 26th. I think that's a
Yeah.
is that a noon game or maybe I think that's the nighttime game, the Monday night game. But
No,
anyway, that's
it's a
going to
Monday night game. It's
yeah,
a
it's a
Monday
Monday
night
night
game.
game. Okay, so it's going to be a Monday night game. So we're wrapping up again. Lions at Dallas next Monday, December 26th. Actually, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry
I'll
Christmas, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in, man. Y'all are dope. We appreciate you
have
guys.
good night.